Seminario en línea. Escuela de Administración Pública de Castilla y León.
Let's get started. Bienvenidos. Welcome to the new seminario that we're going to do today. My name is Matías, and today we're going to talk about how to sound more confident in English, okay? And we're going to look at that in the context of advanced linkers, okay? Así que hoy vamos a mirar cómo, vamos a estudiar cómo ganar y coger confianza en inglés, and we're going to study linkers, adverbios, connectors, right? Cosas que nos pueden unir las frases. Okay, but before we start, let's talk about the obvious beginning. It is spring. Por fin, right? Finally, spring is in the air. Here in Madrid, right, where I live, I can tell that spring is here and spring feels amazing. It is officially time to start planning our summers, right, to get started with Operación Bikini, I think, right? Operation Bikini. But more importantly, it's the perfect moment to refresh your English. Because many people, maybe yourselves, you guys, you do the big cleaning in the spring, right? We call it the spring cleaning. It is when you clean your house one time a year and you go completely crazy with all the cleaning you do and all the nooks and the crannies and the corners, right? That's what you do in the spring cleaning. Now, if you are doing spring cleaning this year, fantastic. But I hope that all of you are going to spend some time on spring cleaning your English. Yes, hopefully you will spend a couple of hours here with me in the seminario and with Brian next week, perhaps. But at home, reviewing and refreshing your English, because it's a good moment to do it before summer is on us. Because we know in the summer, everything is relaxed, right? In the summer, nobody studies. In the summer, we relax. And the summer is only 3 months away. Crazy. Now, spring is my favorite season here in Spain, even though I am a little bit allergic. I have spring allergies, as we say, right? We have something called hay fever. Yeah. Hay fever is when you sneeze a lot because of the pollen in the air or something like that, right? The flowers, the trees. But in general, spring is amazing. And in Madrid, spring, the temperatures, oh, it's fantastic. So, excuse me. I hope you are ready to refresh. I hope you are ready to go, that you're feeling the, you know, the liveliness of spring in the air, because I'm going to take you through a lot of vocabulary and grammar today to help us refresh and brighten like these flowers our English. Okay, so how can I do this? Well, we're going to look at a number of things today. We're going to study tips, consejos, right? Tips, five tips to help you build your confidence. Then we're going to study the three tricks. What does that mean? Los trucos, yeah, tres trucos for when you don't understand. That's maybe something that a lot of you struggle with. Following that, we are going to do some listening comprehension, but not here in class. I'm not going to do any listening exercises. Instead, we're going to study and understand and analyze what the problem is. Why don't you understand? In the second part of the course, we will look at how to sound, how to avoid sounding repetitive. Okay, what can we do to not sound repetitive? And of course, to look at some actual linkers and connectors. Linkers are the things that join sentences together and make us sound more, you know, more beautiful in our speech. And finally, as always, we're going to look at some idioms, some phrasal verbs that hopefully will give you a little bit of confidence, will boost your English level and overall make you more interested in studying. Okay, so that's the flow of today's class, the structure, the outline. And again, remember, you can study these slides in the future because you'll have access to them. So if you want to study this weekend, you know, after you do your spring cleaning, feel free to do so. Let's get started straight away with our tips. Okay, so when we started talking about tips, we have to talk about Spanglish. How do you feel about Spanglish? What is Spanglish? You guys sometimes talk in Spanglish. Why? Because you think in Spanish, right? You want to speak in English and you do the translation. I say, oh yeah. And then you speak Spanglish and oh, it is awful. Of course, it is not necessarily difficult for someone else, some Spanish person, to understand you. If you speak Spanglish and they understand Spanglish, yeah, then it's very easy to help you get over that problem. But the bigger problem exists when you speak Spanglish and the other person does not. Yeah, you think you're saying something very clever or very fancy, and in reality, you're just saying nonsense. That's the problem, right? And it really messes with our confidence. It is a problem when we think that we are not able to speak quickly or fluently in English, right? It's a bit of a problem. What am I going to say? How am I going to say it? And in a professional context, oh, you can imagine. So, Spanglish is a disaster. We want to avoid Spanglish. If there's one tip, one thing I can help you with, one thing I suggest you stop doing, it's the translating. If you translate from Spanish into English, every word you say, you're going to find it very difficult to understand us. Okay? More importantly, we are going to find it very difficult to understand you because oof, that makes no sense. Okay? For us, Spanglish, and sometimes it's because of grammar, and sometimes it's because of vocabulary or expressions. I have a classic from Lost to the River. Okay, from Lost to the River. Whoa. No, in English, that means nothing. De perdidos al río. Ah, yeah, in Spanish, Lost to the River. Of course, we have studied that one in the past. Yeah, ya hemos hablado de eso en el pasado. But the truth is, a lot of people speak like this. Yeah? Yesterday I was doing some homework with a student, and somebody told me, with the sentence, puede que lo haya hecho tu hermano. And the student says, it may be the brother doesn't like it. The translation was awful. Now, of course, word for word, it's correct, but that's not correct English. That's terrible English. The correct sentence would be, your brother might not like it. But that's not the focus of today. I'm not going to focus on that particular problem. I'm going to focus on a bigger problem of helping us gain that confidence. Okay? Now, what are some tips that you can use? Well, first of all, be confident. Yeah, but confident, that's not easy, right? How are you confident when you don't have the skills? Okay. There are a number of easy tricks, trucos, right? Tips that you can apply to make yourself sound better. The first one is the most important one. Don't speak too fast. Yeah, don't speak too fast. Why? Well, first of all, if you speak a little bit slower, you're going to sound more trustworthy. Trustworthy? Fiable, right? And confident, right? This is very helpful. Speaking a little bit slower than your normal speed will give you that image, imagine, image that gives you that image that you are trustworthy, that people can trust you. Secondly, if you speak quickly, there is a risk that you will stumble over that you're going to stumble over your words, that your pronunciation is not going to be good. Maybe you will forget words, and you don't have the chance to think. Speaking slower allows you to think at the same time as you're saying something. I understand. You speak Spanish. And in Spanish, of course, you speak quickly, very quickly sometimes. I am amazed sometimes when people speak. I say, oh my gosh, what happened? How are you speaking so quickly? Well, if you speak like that in Spanish and you want to do the same in English, my advice is don't. We don't like to speak so fast. It is difficult to understand you, and you are not going to sound very professional. So, if you want to sound better and you want to sound more professional, the first thing is don't speak too fast. Work on the punctuation. Yeah. So, If you are speaking and you imagine that there is a full stop, un punto, pause, and then start the next sentence. That's it, pause. And then start, yeah, you see the pause that I made there? So we use the punctuation in sentences to really help us sound a little bit easier to understand. If you want people to understand you, speak slower. All right. The second point is connected to the first one. Breathe. Okay. I am not going to do a session of mindfulness or yoga or anything. First of all, because I have no idea about mindfulness or yoga, I'm afraid that's not this seminario. Maybe in the future there'll be a different seminario on mindfulness, but it does help to take a deep breath. Find your Zen point. Yes? Why? If you take a deep breath when you are speaking, you give yourself time to think. Yeah. And if you do take that kind of pause, it seems like you are more confident. It seems like. Maybe you are not confident, right? Maybe you're very nervous. Breathing helps you with the nerves. It is a physical fact, okay? It's a fact, es un hecho, that if you have nerves, right, if you are nervous, that a deep breath helps you with the nerves. It doesn't eliminate it, no, but it, you know, it reduces the effect. Make sure you take a deep breath before, okay? It gives you a moment to think, and it gives you the opportunity to sound confident. It will boost you. It will give you a little push. Okay, so those are breathing techniques and speaking techniques. What about the third technique? Well, the next technique, people, is, of course, to improve your vocal skills. What does that mean, improve your vocal skills? Well, first of all, and it's not included here, but first of all, it talks about pronunciation, of course, right? Improve your vocal skills, not improve your vocal skills. No. If you say it like that, you are not speaking English. You are speaking Spanglish. And even though the words are correct, if you have the pronunciation incorrect, then you are going to be more difficult to understand. And you will see it on the faces of the other people. They're like, what are you saying? Right? And that is a problem. Because if you notice that in them, if you see that they don't understand you, your confidence is going to decrease. So if you want to do it right, you need to make sure that you have good pronunciation. First of all, improve, not improve, yeah, improve. The second thing here in the improving your vocal skills is to understand that English is a stress-timed language. Okay, that's very technical. What does that mean? Well, it says it there, it's easy. It means that rhythm and stress are important. Rhythm and stress, okay. Rhythm like music? Yeah, I like the music, the rhythm, exactly, yeah, the rhythm. And maybe you're a good dancer. I am a terrible dancer, but maybe you are a good dancer and you have a good feeling for rhythm. Fantastic. If that is you, it's going to be easy. Or maybe you are good with music. If you find music easy, maybe you play an instrument, then this is going to be easier for you. Stress and rhythm in English are more important than in Spanish. Okay, why? Well, because with the inclusion of stress and rhythm, we change the meaning. You're probably a little bit confused right now, so I'm going to repeat it. We use stress and we use rhythm to change the meaning of the words or the sentence. So let me give you an example. When I say, for example, desert, right? The desert, I am speaking, of course, about the Sahara, the Gobi, the Kalahari, right? Lots of different deserts. When I say dessert, ooh, something's changed, yes. Now I stress the second syllable. I am speaking about the verb. What verb? The postre? No, the postre. Dessert, desertar. So that is obviously a very big difference. Now, this is an example that I gave you. And in this example, the context will hopefully help you understand which one I'm talking about. But if you make a mistake and you accidentally use the wrong stress, people will misunderstand you. People will misunderstand you, and worse, you will misunderstand us. For example, if you think that the word confortable in Spanish, one tum tum tum, are very linear. In English, comfortable, comfortable. Oh, comfortable. Yeah. Say it a couple of times to yourself while you're at home at the moment. Maybe if you have people around that you don't have to say it. But if you're at home and you're alone, try to say it a couple of times. Comfortable, comfortable, comfortable. Oh, yeah. You feel the rhythm, right? Maybe if you're musical, you feel the rhythm. Comfortable, comfortable, comfortable. Say it a couple of times. And all of a sudden, when you say it enough times, it sounds like you're riding a horse, right? Comfortable, 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 comfortable. It sounds like a horse. Comfortable, comfortable, comfortable. This is the problem of English. Not that it sounds like a horse, that's just a funny coincidence, but rather that if we don't have the correct pronunciation, you're going to find it very difficult to understand us. I say comfortable, but maybe you say comfortable or comfortable. That is wrong. And if you think that the correct pronunciation is comfortable or comfortable, you are going to find it so difficult to understand when I say comfortable and go, huh? What happened to or disappeared because of the stress? Comfortable. That's a big problem. The stress makes such a big difference in the sentence. And that is true for individual, right? When we're talking about the particular parts in a sentence, right? So in a word, yeah, comfortable, I stress the comf, not the or the A. So inside the syllables, I change it, but also in an overall sentence, it's important. Okay. In a moment, we're going to look at a very easy question, but let's do the question as an introduction now as well. When I say, how are you? How are you? I'm fine, thank you. Right? Okay. How are you? How are you? Okay. Now, of course, we stress the how and the you. How are you? How are you? Okay, nice. But notice when I say, how are you? Hey, I've stressed the R, not how and you. How are you? What happened? It's a different question. How are you? I'm fine, thank you. How are you is a real question. Yes, of course, you know this. I know that you know this. But when I say, how are you? I'm not really interested in how you are. I'm making small talk. I'm saying hello, right? I'm being nice. When I say, how are you? I'm focused on hello. When I ask, how are you? And I stress the R, now the person is not saying hello. The person is asking you, yeah, dime, ¿qué tal estás? Right? Everything okay? So you are stressing the R to let the other person know that it's not just a standard greeting. You are now asking more information. Only with the stress. There's no difference in the writing. That's why English is important. You have to be able to use these stress structures, and you have to, more importantly, understand the stress as well. Otherwise, it becomes very difficult for everyone to follow what you are saying. Okay? Now, so stress, rhythm, and of course, the pronunciation itself. Okay. All right. Let's look at the next one. Vocabulary skills. Well, people, vocabulary is what we're going to look at today. So that's nice. We can learn vocabulary in so many ways, right? You can learn vocabulary here in our seminarios, but you can learn vocabulary online by yourselves, reading a book, watching TV, listening to the podcast that Ichi was explaining earlier. There's a lot of ways that you can explain or that you can expand your vocabulary. Today, specifically, we're going to focus on sentence starters, okay? Adding emphasis, showing viewpoints, attitudes. Basically, we are looking at how to make the sentences better. Okay, that's in the second part of the class. But first, we're going to talk a little bit more about your nerves. You have to control your nerves, and this is easier said than done. That's an expression, easier said than done. I tell you, oh, you have to control your nerves, but maybe you are very nervous in general and it's difficult for you to control your nerves. Okay, I understand that not everybody finds it easy to speak in another language and that some people are more nervous than other people. But there is a difference between being a little bit nervous and being a lot nervous, right? So imagine, yes, that you have a piece of paper and I'm going to explain to you my point of view on this. Okay. If I know that I'm going to be nervous, I will make sure that my paper is outside the camera. Yes? I don't want you to see my camera, my paper. Why not? Because when I show you will see that my paper is shaking. Oh my gosh, my paper is shaking. What is happening? It's because I'm nervous. It's okay that you're nervous. You don't have to eliminate your nerves, you just have to control them. How do you do this? Make sure people don't see it. Yeah. So if you are shaking with your piece of paper, hello, today, that is not going to give you a good first impression. People are not going to think that you are confident. In essence, you have to look confident, even if you are not confident. It's important to have the right style, to have the right image. Okay. So if you are very nervous and you look extremely nervous and you sound nervous, people are going to think you are incompetent. Incompetence is a beautiful word. I like that word a lot, but it refers to the idea that you don't know what you're doing, right? If people are going to misunderstand you, oof, it can be a disaster. They will think, who is this person? Why are they so confused, right? And that is the next part that we're going to look at. So, before we continue with the next part, let's quickly recap. Let's quickly review. We have five important tips, things I think you should learn. Right? We have controlling our speed, slow down, don't speak too fast. That's important as a Spanish speaker, too. Breathe. Right? Before you start to speak or before you have a long sentence, make sure you breathe. Breathe. Improve your pronunciation, your vocal skills, as we say, the rhythm, the stress, the pronunciation. That is practice, okay? And we're going to look at that in a moment a little bit more on how we can do this. Vocabulary skills, okay? Well, now we're talking. Vocabulary is, of course, the vocabulary structures that we are going to look in this class, but we also looked at in different classes before, and we will, of course, do more pronunciation, sorry, more vocabulary in the future as well. Every lesson contains, every seminario contains vocabulary. All right, so there's a lot of information there for you if you want it. And finally, control your nerves. If you are nervous, try to not look nervous. It's okay that you are nervous inside. We say in English, fake it until you make it. All right, fake it until you make it. So that means you have to pretend to be confident until you are confident. That's what most people do anyway. But okay, we are going to look today at vocabulary, at controlling your nerves. The vocal skills section of the seminar is very limited today, but don't worry. In the future, in April, you will study pronunciation with my good friend and dear colleague Brian. Brian in April is going to talk about pronunciation, and I strongly recommend attending Brian's class in the future, the seminario, to help you with your vocal skills. It's a very useful lesson. And if you don't mind me saying so, Brian is a little bit of an expert when it comes to pronunciation. He has a lot of experience. So I hope you come join us when he does his classes in April. Now, hello. I'm fine, thank you. Right? That is what everybody says. We're talking about, right, controlling your nerves. All right, what happens? Okay, imagine for a moment with me, people. This has happened to many of you, I am sure. You have to meet somebody in a context of a meeting or a conference or just a general social setting at work, right? And you are so nervous, right? Right? Has that happened to you? Imagine. You have your cup of coffee. It is morning, right now I know it's the evening, but imagine, yeah, let's imagine for a moment, it's the morning. 9 o'clock, and You are standing there with your coffee. Maybe you have your telephone, tum, tum, tum. And there's a meeting. The meeting starts at 9:30. You are punctual. You are early even because yes, you are Spanish, but you're also very punctual because Spanish people are not all late. That is a stereotype. That is not true. So you are there punctually waiting, right, for the meeting to start, but it's early. And you're drinking your coffee. You're trying to stay quiet to yourself. There's lots of people. Okay. There's people from France. Oh, French. Oh, Italians. Oh, the Italians. Easy to understand, right? In English. There's some people from Greece, from Germany, okay, some people from Poland. A lot of international people at this meeting. Okay. And then there's John. John is there too. John from Manchester. John's standing over there, right? John's standing over there. And you're drinking your coffee and you're looking around, relaxed. Uh-oh. You've looked at John. Oh no. And John has made eye contact with you. Oh no. And you think to yourself, oh, please, John, don't come over here. Please, John, no. Don't. Please don't come talk to me. But John is coming. John is coming. He's walking over to where you're standing, towards where you're standing, and you're drinking your coffee. You're panicking in your head. You start sweating a little bit. You get uncomfortable in your head. You're practicing, right? I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine, thank you. I'm fine, thank you. In your head, quietly. And John comes up to you and he goes, "Hi, good morning, Juanito. How are you?" "I'm fine, thank you." No more questions. And you try to escape very quickly because that's it. That's the end of the conversation. That's the end of your ability to maintain that conversation. Why? Because you're nervous. And because a lot of us, I think some of you people at home, you will identify with what I've just said. A lot of us have experienced this, the nervousness of having to make that first impression. It's scary, it's difficult, and it's not easy. Yeah? How are you? Ah, I'm fine, thank you. Everyone in Spain says, "I'm fine, thank you." But of course, that's a problem because it's wrong. What? You're thinking, "Nah, it can't be wrong." It's not wrong. The problem is, if you say, "I'm fine, thank you," that's the end of a conversation, right? You want to go away? I know that you want to go away. You want to take your coffee and you want to walk away. But in reality, what you should be doing is you should be saying, "I'm fine, thank you. What about you? And how about you and yourself?" Of course, right? You don't want to end the conversation. I know you do, but you shouldn't want to end the conversation. Yes. Instead, right, we are looking at something, right, where you want to start the conversation. And the problem, of course, is this. So while you're standing there with your coffee and you're preparing, you are a little bit lucky because in this case, John from Manchester, he asks you the question, "How are you?" What if he doesn't ask the question? Maybe he asks a different question. Yeah. Maybe he asks you, "How do you do? How do you do?" And you go, "I'm fine, thank you. Goodbye." No. "How do you do?" And you want to say, "Oh, how do you do?" Sorry, I'm trying to say, "How, como, do, haces, tú, haces, tú, lo haces." I am a teacher. No. Yeah. "How do you do? How do you do?" What? Yes. "How do you do" is a formal greeting that we use in English, in American English, in British English, in Australian English, in all the Englishes, okay? It's more formal than "How are you?" And the correct response, "How do you do? How do you do?" It is similar in Spanish to encantado. Okay? So imagine that I say to you, "Encantado." And you go, "Muy bien, gracias." And you go, "What? What just happened? Like, that wasn't the right interaction." Of course not. "How do you do? How do you do?" Oh, wow. Yeah. Imagine the conversations that you have had at the beginning where maybe somebody asks you, "How do you do?" And you said, "Oh, I'm fine, thank you." It's possible, right? It happened. Yeah. So, how do you do? How do you do? Always. Okay. So, we always use it like that. Be careful. Now, what is the next part? How do you do? How do you do? How do you do? How do you do? And then what? No. The next sentence is, it's nice to see you again. It's a pleasure to meet you. Okay. It's nice to see you again. It's a pleasure to meet you. Okay. Very important sentences. Okay. How do you do? How do you do? It's a pleasure to meet you. You know what I mean? No. Me too? Me too? Me too? No, not me too. We say likewise. Likewise. Igualmente. Not me too. Okay. If you say, oh, it's a pleasure to meet you. Yes, me too. No, that is wrong. Por qué? Why is it wrong? The other person, John, can be very surprised. He's like, why do you say me too? If you say to John, if John says to you, hey, it's a pleasure to meet you, and you say, yes, me too, you are saying to John, yes, John, you are right. I am a very busy individual. You are super lucky to meet me because I am fantastic. So please don't say to people, me too, when they say, it's nice to meet you. Instead, you want to say likewise, igualmente, likewise. And you can say it in other contexts as well. So, hey, have a good Friday. Yeah, okay, likewise. Enjoy the rest of your evening. Likewise. Hey, I hope you enjoy the concert. Yeah, likewise. Likewise is a great word. How do you do? How do you do? Okay, what about the next one? Hey, how are you? Yeah, I'm great, thanks. And you always ask the question, and you, otherwise it's not a conversation, right? It's a statement, and end of the conversation is there. No, you want to start something, make a good first impression. And we don't only say, I'm good, I'm fine. We say, I'm great, I'm all right, I can't complain. Oh, no puedo quejar. Yeah, I can't complain, thanks. How about you? Right. Lots of options here with sentences that we can use. Instead of saying, I'm fine, thank you. Because I'm fine, thank you is not wrong. But you need to add, what about you? How about you? And what happens if there are two of you and one of John? And John asks you the second question. Hey, how are you doing? How are you doing? And here it is. How are you doing? How are you doing? I'm okay. I'm all right. I can't complain. Notice when John asks the question, how are you doing? It is not, how are you doing? Of course not. We say it together. How are you doing? So imagine, right? You're standing there with your coffee, and John asks you, how are you doing? You have three options. The first option, if you don't know, you guess. Yes? Adivina, you guess. I'm fine, thank you. And maybe you're all right. Maybe you're wrong. If you say, how do you do? You say, I'm fine, thank you. It's wrong. So guessing is not always the best option. You're shaking, your hand is there, it's like, oh no. Okay, how are you doing? I can't complain. I'm okay, I'm all right. First option, you guess. It's not a good option. Second option, you think about it. Lo piensas. How are you doing? ¿Cómo lo hago? Oh, pues, yeah. Okay, that's a problem. I know that it's okay for you normally to think about the question. But this time, John is saying hello. It's the first impression. You're making a very bad, very, very bad first impression. Imagine in Spanish, someone asks you, Buenos días, ¿cómo estás? And you go, oh, ¿cómo estoy? The other person is going to be very confused. Like, what are you thinking about? It depends on, like, it's not a philosophical question. I am not your psychologist or your coach. What is wrong with you? Why are you thinking about this question? Now, I know that in Spanish, you don't have that problem. But in English, if you think about this question, it's a big problem because the other person is going to think, yeah, you're a little bit strange, right? A little bit strange. So we don't think about the question. So you can guess, but that's not a good idea. You can think about it. That's not a good idea. What's the last option? Well, the third option, of course, is to ask for repetition. Sorry, John, I no understand. Of course, you sound better in English than that. I'm sorry, John, I didn't understand. Could you repeat, please? You can ask for repetition. Now, if you ask a good question for repetition, it's great. But the problem is, it's not going to look very good. John said, hello, how are you? It's not a very complicated question. It's not a very very deep question. It's not a content question. It's a greeting. So if you ask for repetition during a greeting, it's going to seem very strange too. Okay, so option one, you guess. Are they being there? Bad option. Option number two, you don't know and you think about it. It's a bad option. Option number three, you ask the question. Yep, was ever deep? Can you repeat yourself, please? It's a bad option because it gives a bad first impression. Entonces, what do you have to do? The answer, of course, is easy. You have to study these expressions. So then you make a good first impression. Study and practice. First impressions and greetings, the first thing you do, are so important to help you build your confidence. If you are not going to panic and start sweating when somebody says hello to you in English, yeah, then that's the first step, right? I have seen many people in the office, right? In English. Oh, please send me an email. Yeah. It's like, relax, relax. Deep breath, okay? Speak slowly, listen carefully, okay? And practice these expressions. The more you practice these expressions, and what about you, the more confident you will become at the beginning. And the beginning is the most difficult part. Because once we break the ice, romper el hielo, once we break the ice, then, okay, it becomes a little bit easier, of course. Phew. So, if you have ever been in this situation, and you know how difficult it is to stress, right, the moments of greetings, you know the value of learning this. It is recommended that you study this because, yeah, you look very silly, okay? Now, careful. Some people, when they say, how are you? Oh, more or less. Okay, more or less. More or less. It's not on the list here. No, more or less. Not on the list. Why not? Porque no existe. More or less in English doesn't exist the way it does in Spanish. Nope. More or less in English is wrong. How are you? So-so. So-so. Yeah, so-so. Not more or less. More or less in English has a meaning. It refers to the expression that is used as approximately. Okay, so for example, how many people live in Madrid? More or less 4 million, approximately 4 million. I don't know if that's true. 5 million, 6 million? I'm going to say 4 million. More or less 4 million people. Okay, great. Fantastic. More or less is used in that sentence. Okay, at the moment, if I ask you guys, how cold or is it warm outside? Is it cold outside? Well, the sun is out. I can see here on my computer. It says it's 22 degrees Celsius. It's not hot, but yeah, it's more or less warm at this time of day. Yeah, here in Madrid, more or less warm, approximately warm. So warm is used with more or less because more or less is a changer. Yeah? It changes, modify things. Okay, good. More or less is a great expression. We use it a lot to modify things. Yes. Are you sleepy? Yeah, I'm more or less sleepy. I'm more or less tired, but not, you know. Okay, so if you say to somebody, to John from Manchester, and you say to John, and John asks, hey, how's it going? Oh, I know. I am more or less. John's like, sorry? More or less what? Hey, how are you? I'm approximately. What the heck does that even mean? Approximately. You are approximately good. You are approximately bad. You're approximately great. It makes no sense to say so-so. To say more or less. Instead of saying more or less, say so-so. So-so. Okay? No more or less. Whew. And the last one. It's not on the list. I'm not on the list, so I'm giving you extra information. What happens if you have a bad day? And you say, well, you are nervous, right? And you're standing there, you're shaking, you're sweating. And John asks you, how are you? And you go, muy mal, John. Because you're talking to me. No, but you're not going to say that, right? Instead, you're going to say, very bad, John. No. In English, we are not direct. Mm-mm. We are not direct in English at all, okay? In English, we don't have direct sentences like that. We don't say very bad because now I am in a very uncomfortable situation. Yeah? If you say to me very bad, what do I have to say, right? I have to say, I'm sorry. You say to John, very bad, John. Now John has to ask you, oh, why? I'm so sorry. Please tell me why. John has to ask you, because if you say bad, he has to ask you why. So we don't do this. Of course not. Instead of saying that you are bad, you're going to change it. You're going to be indirect. For example, you're going to say, I'm surviving. How are you? Surviving. Sobreviviendo. Oh, yeah, nice, right? So if you say, I'm surviving, now you are using the expression in English to indicate to people that you are bad, but you have a positive attitude. And that's so important. Because now John, if he wants to, he can ask you, I'm sorry to hear that. Please feel free to tell me more. Okay, John can ask you questions. On the other hand, John can also ignore your situation. I'm sorry to hear that. Good luck with the rest of your day. Okay, yeah? I hope things get better for you. Done. He doesn't have to ask you why or tell me more. It's more socially comfortable if you don't say bad. Always go indirect. I'm surviving. So if I ask you at the end of your class, at the end of our seminario, hey, how are you? Surviving, right? Maybe. it's possible, right? So how are you? Surviving. That's negative, but with a positive attitude, okay? All right. How do you do? How are you? How's it going? How are you doing? What do you do? Careful. How do you do and what do you do? Only one word difference, yeah? How and what, right? How, como, what, qué? What do you do? Maybe you think to yourself, somebody says, John, hey, what do you do? And you go, I thought I'd say, what do you do? What do you do? It's a pleasure to meet you, likewise. No. What do you do is not the same as how do you do. How do you do, how do you do? But what do you do is, I'm an IT engineer. I'm a teacher. What about you? Be careful, all right? How? It's not the same as what. And the question is used very typically at the beginning of a conversation. So be careful with those details, all right? Let's move on. So remember, don't ask, don't be thinking about it, right? Don't guess, and don't ask questions. At least not with the greetings. But let's talk about asking questions. What happens if you have to ask questions? Well, if you have to ask questions, there are three tricks, three things that you can use to ask better. The first one is to ask for repetition. The next one, if you ask for rephrasing. And last, but certainly not least, checking if you understood their question by repeating it. Okay, let's look at the first one, repetition. I know you have asked this question before, right? I'm like, could you repeat, please? The problem is, what goes in the gap? You're probably thinking, what is in the gap? Could you repeat, please? Is it repeat me? Not repeat me. No, that's wrong. Could you repeat me, please? Why not? Why is it wrong to say, was it repeat me before? No. In English, we never say, can you repeat me? Never. Oh, okay. Because you say so. Yeah. I say so, the grammar says so, it's wrong. The problem with repeat me is the meaning changes. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this, guys, but could you repeat me? See, Gloria's enemy is wrong because it means, could you have sex with me again? You are probably flipping right now, yeah? Flipping in colors, flipando en colores? No, it's Spanglish, but could you repeat me? Repetir means, can you have sex with me again? Repeat someone means to do them again. To clone, clonar, or to have sex. To do someone means to have sex with someone. Imagine in a meeting, you were sitting there where a lot of people, not only John, but the people from Italy and Greece and Germany and France. I'm sorry, John, I didn't understand you. Could you repeat me for everybody? Excuse me, John, could you have sex with me again, please? And the Italians, again? Oh, yeah. It's very Spanish, very friendly. Oh, yeah, very friendly. They must be. Repeat me. So we do not say repeat me. That is always wrong. Instead, if you don't want to say repeat me, what can you say? You can say the specifics. I'm sorry, could you repeat the beginning of the question? Please, could you repeat the verb? Could you repeat the last part of the sentence? So in the repeat afterwards, we are going to be specific, as specific as possible, of course. Maybe you're not able to be super specific, but that is what we mean, okay? So, not repeat me, okay? Be careful. Imagine how many mistakes you have asked. And if you see somebody who is blushing, and a little bit red when you ask them a question, please consider that maybe you ask them an inappropriate question. And they're like, exactly, because how do you respond to a question like that? Okay, the problem is, sometimes repeat is not correct. Not only because of the problem with repeat me, you know, sometimes repeat is the incorrect question. Imagine that you don't understand John. Maybe John is using a difficult word, right? So I can ask, maybe John is asking you, hey, excuse me, Juanito, yes. Oh, yeah, me, Juanito, yeah, okay. Who do you look up to? Oh, phrase of look up to. Maybe you know the meaning of look up to. If you know the meaning, fantastic. Congratulations. I'm so proud of you. But what happens if you don't know the meaning of look up to? And you say, oh, you're panicking, right? You start sweating there again. Your hands start shaking. Look up to, oh, I'm sorry. Repeat me. No, repeat me. I'm sorry, John. Can you repeat the last part of your question? Of course. Juanita, who do you look up to? Okay, panic, because you did not understand the second time. So you are going to ask it one more time. Hello, sorry, John, one more time. Could you repeat it a little bit slower, please? One more time, John. Yes, of course. Who do you look up to? Okay, you understand the problem. John can repeat it 20 times. Who do you look up to? Who do you look up to? And I can say it a lot more times too. The problem is not with repetition. The problem is with understanding. You use the question of repeat because you need more time to think, but it doesn't mean that it's going to magically give you the solution if you ask for repetition. Yeah. So the problem is going to stay quite a lot of times. So if you ask for repetition, you do so because you didn't hear it. Now we have a lot of online meetings. In fact, it's an online seminario. Maybe your connection is not good. Maybe my connection is not good. Maybe the Amazon person was there. Maybe, I don't know, the children were screaming. Whatever happened, maybe you were distracted for just a moment. Then you should ask, I'm sorry, could you repeat? Please, could you repeat it? Please, could you repeat the question? Could you repeat the sentence? Great. Repetition means 100% exactly the same sentence. When you ask for understanding problems, you don't ask for repeating. You ask for rephrasing. Hey, I'm sorry, could you please rephrase the question? Ah, says John, because now John understands. Now John understands that the problem is not the word of the sound, it is the problem of the meaning. Of course, if I'm John, could you rephrase it? Who do you look up to? Who do you look up to? Who do you admire? Ah, who do you admire? Admirar. Ah, well, that's very easy. I admire Brian, of course. Yeah, admirar. Yeah, of course. When you understand admire, admirar, that's easier than look up to. It is not difficult for us native speakers to ask for rephrasing. We do it all the time. Okay? Don't be embarrassed. Vergüenza, right? If you want to ask for rephrasing, rephrasing helps us understand each other. Okay? Very, very important. If you don't understand someone, I'm sorry. Could you please rephrase? Because sometimes expressions are different. And now there are many different versions of English, right? The versions of English that we learn here are easy enough, but what happens if you compare the English that we learn here with English in India or Nigeria or Singapore or South Africa? I promise you, these different English vocabulary and pronunciation is going to be very difficult to understand. So it's important to remember, hey, if you don't understand something, don't panic. Just say, can you please rephrase the question? Can you please rephrase the verb? Can you please rephrase the beginning or the end, the middle, the whole thing? No problem. I can always rephrase. Okay. And then, of course, the last trick. What can you do if you want to be sure that you understood? Well, then your person, you repeat the sentence. So if I understand you, John, you mean da da da, and then you repeat. If you are right, John is going to say, that's right. If you are wrong, John is going to correct you. Oh, I'm sorry, no, that's not what I meant. And maybe he will try to explain it again. Repeat, rephrase, restate. Three tricks for you to learn, and they are going to help you when you don't understand, okay? Repeating if you have a problem with the volume or a problem with the connection. Rephrasing if you have a problem with the understanding. And restating to confirm that you get it. You get it? I think you do. You guys are great. Thank you for paying attention so far. We have done about halfway. We're about halfway in the presentation. We've done about half. I will ask questions later. So if you have any questions, please wait until the end. Maybe write them down so you remember. And at the end of the presentation, please feel free to ask them. Okay? Now, we're going to practice a little bit of the listening comprehension. Now, like I said, we're not going to practice it here. Why not? Because for listening comprehension is very easy to practice at home. Of course. That is something that we, of course, always can do at home alone. So you are home right now and you are listening to me. This is good for your comprehension, but it's probably not enough because 2 hours a week, let's be honest, that's not a lot. What can we do to improve our listening comprehension, to boost our confidence? Well, there are five things that I would recommend. The first one is to study natural pronunciation. Once again, I'm going to remind you that in a couple of weeks, Brian is going to be with us and he's going to do a great job of explaining this in great detail. But let me explain briefly what that means. Earlier, in a previous slide, we looked at pronunciation. I said, okay, the vocal skills are very important, right? pronunciation, the stress, the rhythm. Okay. But the problem is, it's not quite enough. Because there is a very big difference between how are you and how are you? And how is it going and how's it going? How's it going? How are you? Those are examples of natural pronunciation. The point is that very often, like in Spanish, we do a lot of linking, a lot of changing of the sounds. And this is practice. So when you do pronunciation practice at home, you can do pronunciation practice alone without any teacher. This is possible, okay? You should practice with the natural pronunciation, okay? So you see here in quotation marks the question, what do you want to do? And you go, what is this? Is this a spell from Harry Potter? Like, what do you want to do? It sounds like a spell. It sounds like magic, but no. If Brian asks me this question, what do you want to do? I'm going to say, well, I want to finish my class. And at 7, we can talk. Oh, yeah, of course. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? That is what this sentence means. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? Oh, my gosh, that sounds crazy, right? How are you able to understand that? If you are able to understand what do you want to do from this sentence, your English is phenomenal. But that's what a lot of people struggle with. Es lo que es muy difícil para mucha gente. Entender la pronunciación natural. What do you want to do or what do you want to do? The just possible or not. Understanding that that means the same as what do you want to do. So how can you study natural pronunciation? Because it's all good and well to say study natural pronunciation. I'm going to be honest with you guys. A lot of the audio practice things that are online, on many sources, they are not natural. Okay, if you do an audio exercise, good morning, welcome to London. Today I am going to talk about the importance of natural pronunciation. Ah, that is easy to listen to, of course, but no one speaks like that. Right? So you have to practice listening to natural talks. And my strong suggestion, my recommendation here is to listen to TED Talks. If you want to do listening, of course, you can also watch TV, which is number 4. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But if you want to do listening only, you can listen or watch and listen to TED Talks. They are videos. There's a website, TED.com. It's not my website. It is a neutral website. It's like YouTube. Okay, and it has a lot of famous speeches, discursos, okay, on so many subjects, on biology, on astronomy, on productivity, on human resources, on hobbies, on so many interesting stories. Every talk, every discurso, every speech is between 10 and 20 minutes. It's not very long. It's perfect when you are driving or maybe you're on the metro, right, and you don't know what to listen to or what to do, or in the bus. Yeah, you can watch these. They are videos, but you can download them as audio files as well. And the perfect thing, if you have them as a video, is that you can watch the subtitles or not, maybe without the subtitles. But when you don't understand, you can click pause, turn on Spanish subtitles, go, oh, okay, I see. Or maybe English subtitles. And you can say, oh, what do you want to do? What do you want to do? Ah, okay, that's what he's saying. Listening to TED Talks is phenomenal because the people speaking in TED Talks are not English teachers. I am an English teacher and my specialty is speaking to, well, you guys. I know what your problems are and I try to be careful with my pronunciation. When you listen to someone in natural English, you will expose and you will learn how to place and understand natural English. And it's kind of the same thing with number 3, practicing with different accents and voices and context. If you're always listening to the same people, it's going to be very easy for you to understand those. So try to practice. That's why TED Talks are a good idea. If you have a person that you like to listen to different people, okay? But understand that accents are difficult for native speakers too. I understand Brian. Brian understands me, of course. But I promise you, for me, and I suspect for Brian too, talking to somebody, say, from southern India or from Sri Lanka would be very difficult. Not impossible. Like, I understand them. I would have to adapt to the accents the same way that you do here. Somebody from Cuba, oh my gosh, so difficult for me to understand them. It's like I know they're speaking Spanish, but the accent, oof, or from the south of Spain, right? You go to Murcia or Cadiz, and it's like, I'm sorry, are you still speaking Spanish? Because half the words seem to have evaporated, right? How can I improve with Cadiz people? It's very easy. I can go to Cadiz and spend the week there. But for you guys, what can you do? Now you can listen. There are a lot of sources online for practicing accents, for practicing voices, and listening to different people. TED Talks are easy for that. Next up, watching without subtitles. Yeah, that's right. The main piece of advice on this particular matter is that I'd like you to be conscious, or that you understand, you don't have to watch a whole movie without subtitles if that's too difficult for you. So, or if you're negotiating with your family, maybe your family's like, I don't want to watch a whole movie in English. Okay, no problem. Watch 10 minutes without subtitles. Watch 5 minutes without subtitles, but watch it frequently. And I don't mean the same movie every day, but if you're going to watch something regularly, it's a movie or a series, right? Watch a part of it without subtitles. Start small, a couple of minutes. And I promise you, once you get used to it, you will understand a lot more than you think. The more you practice, the easier it will become. You use the subtitles, you use the dubbing, the versión en español, because you feel scared that you don't understand. But if you can, essentially, it's practicing. If you can do it without, it's going to help you a lot. Okay. The fifth tip, a very important tip, is what can you do to help your listening comprehension? Dictations. Yes. I'm sure that when you were a little boy or a little girl in primary school, you had to do in lengua and Spanish, right? Dictaciones, right? You dictations with your teacher, probably with a pen. Nowadays, kids, they have computers and tablets in school. But when I was in school, I used a pen. Dictations are things that, as a kid, I hated. I don't know how you feel about them as kids, but when I was a kid, I hated dictations. But a dictation is a very effective tool, a very effective thing to learn for languages. Now, the problem is that your brain, all of our brains, they get tired very quickly. So it is not a good idea to do a long dictation, but you can do a short dictation. So, but no tengo dictaciones. I don't have dictations. Yes, you do. You take a piece of paper, you take a pen, and you listen to anything, cualquier cosa, online. You find a TED Talk, for example, or you listen to me. You can do the podcast. You listen to Brian to 3 minutes, no more. Okay? And you. Please, you can listen to the whole thing, okay? But for this exercise, only listen to 2 minutes or 3 minutes. And you are going to try and write down everything you hear in those 2 minutes. Now, you can press pause, yes, no problem. And you can write it down and you can repeat once, twice, three times maximum. Do not repeat it more than three times. Por qué no? Well, obviously, because it's unnatural. In a real life situation, you will never ask for repetition for more than two or three times. So you can practice by repeating 50 times, but one, that's a lot of times to repeat and to spend on one exercise. I don't know how useful that is. But two, maybe more importantly, it's not realistic. It's realistic to ask for repetition once or twice. If you do it with a TED Talk, or maybe with a song. Maybe you like music, right? Maybe you like Taylor Swift, right? You're a Swiftie. That's great. But you can listen to the song. You can write it down. I don't know, a minute, 2 minutes. Okay. And then when you finish writing it down, you can check. Oh my gosh, I made so many mistakes With the TED Talks, it's very easy because the subtitles are there. With the song, it's very easy. You go to Google and you type in the name of the song, and you will find the lyrics, not palabras, yeah? So the lyrics is what we say in English, and you will find them there. It's very simple, but very effective. This is one of the best tricks to use for practice. It's tiring. Your brain will be tired. But when you do these kind of exercises, you are going to be surprised by how much you're not understanding. Yeah. And once you realize, oh, look at this, I'm always wrong with the prepositions, or I don't hear the prepositions, then you can start practicing the prepositions. Or maybe you have a problem with the modal verbs or the adjectives, whatever the problem is. If it is consistent, you can study it. Yeah. Okay. One more thing on the natural pronunciation. Everyone has a telephone, right? I mean, I suspect most of you do, almost everybody here. How can you use your telephone to practice natural pronunciation or to practice with different accents? Well, you can use listening exercises, but you can speak to it too. All your telephones have a microphone inside. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. All your phones, your telephones have a microphone in them. So when you're home, you can practice with a microphone. Practice how? You can say, hey Siri, hey Alexa, hey Google, whatever, right? And you say, please record, please take note, apunta, right? And you say a small text, a text that you are reading from a book or from an online source, it doesn't matter. And you will check Alexa or Siri or Google, whatever. Oh my gosh, it's incorrect. What I am saying is not what they are writing. You think, ah, because Siri is very bad. It's not because Siri is bad. In fact, it's the opposite. Siri is very good at the moment, as is Alexa. When I say something to Siri, Siri understands me very well, surprisingly well. So the problem isn't your pronunciation. The problem isn't Siri's understanding. The problem is your pronunciation. If you want to practice pronunciation at home, alone, without a teacher, you can do so if you read a small text and you have it recorded, dictated to your phone, and you can see the writing. Oh yeah, I'm right, or no, I'm wrong. And then you can see what problems you have. Okay? Simple but effective. You can write what you hear and you can hear what you write. Okay? Good strategies to practice with. All right. So far we've talked about tricks to help you with confidence. We've looked at greetings and the basic shock of overcoming them. We've looked at questions, right? Repeat, rephrase, restate. Now we are looking at the listening comprehension. All right. And of course, now that we have done the dictation, well, después de la dictation, what do we then do? Well, then we understand the problem. It's important to understand why you did not understand. Okay, I'm going to repeat because it's a difficult sentence. It's important to understand why you don't understand. Yeah, this is a strange question, but it's true though. Sometimes you may not understand because the vocabulary is new. Oh yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know this vocabulary. I know this word. Okay, no problem, right? It happens. It happens. There are a lot of words in English. Ya hemos hablado de eso antes. How many words are there in English? Wow, a lot. 650,000. 650,000. Yeah, 650,000. Wow. So there's a high probability that you don't know the word. If you don't know the word, you don't know the sentence. So, okay, no problem. If you don't know the word, then it's okay that you don't understand it. Second, pronunciation. That's why it's so important to practice your pronunciation with your sentence. But how do you pronounce it? If you say comfortable and you hear comfortable, oh, what is that meaning? Comfortable. Ah, comfortable. No. Your pronunciation is different. Every Spanish person, when they study and they are younger, not right now, I'm sure, but when you were younger, you said, eat, ate, eaten, right? And you have in your head, ate. But the problem is, of course, when I say eight, are you able to connect eight with ate? Ah, you know how to write ate, but do you remember that it's pronounced eight? That's a very different question, right? Do you pronounce it differently? That's the question that we want to make sure that the answer to is no. And how can you practice that? At home, with listening and with pronouncing, for example, through your phone. Equally, the speaker might link words together. Yeah. How's it going? How's it going? Yeah. The speaker is linking words together. Maybe that's the reason you don't understand. Okay. And finally, is it a problem of grammar? Did they use a structure that you don't understand at all? It happens. Not a modal verb. A modal verb is vocabulary. Sorry, a phrasal verb is vocabulary. But what about the grammar? Did you not understand the grammar? If you have problems with the grammar, then that's another reason that you may have a problem understanding the whole sentence. Now, my big tip here is don't worry. Yeah. Be water, my friends, right? Don't worry. It's not necessary to understand everything. If you don't understand, ask for repetition, ask for rephrasing, ask for restating. Communication is the strategy, not understanding everything. You can learn and you can improve, but don't worry. Native speakers, they don't understand everything either, right? That's really important. Okay? All right. Now, oh, beautiful, more spring flowers. Yes, I was in a spring mood when I prepared the class, so I put in a lot of flowers today. How can you avoid sounding repetitive? Ooh, that's a good question. You are learning, you are practicing. So I don't always want to sound the same when I speak. Maybe you're preparing a speech or maybe you're preparing a presentation. One of the things you can do is to do the same thing I said a moment ago, to record yourself, right? You record yourself, not to check the pronunciation, but just to see how many times you repeat vocabulary. You record yourself and then you listen to yourself. Oh, wait, I say, I think 5 times in 2 minutes. That's a problem. And then you change it. I think, I believe, I feel. So be aware that one of the easiest ways to avoid sounding repetitive is to record. Secondly, you can paraphrase. Paraphrase, yeah, paraphrase. Paraphrasing refers to the idea that you can find one word that has a very similar meaning to another word. I think, I believe, I reckon, I feel. They're not exactly the same, but they're close enough that we can use them instead of one another. The English language is huge. Vocabulary is enormous. So it's normal that there are many synonyms. Instead of saying but, I can say however, nevertheless, although, oh, yes. Don't worry, those are the words that we're going to study in just a moment, okay? We are going to look at those. That's the focus of the lesson today. But essentially, if you want to sound stronger, if you want to build your confidence, you can do so by recording yourself to check how many words you are repeating and to check if you are maybe able to find some synonyms, right? So what can I do to make my sentence stronger, better? Other things that you can do to avoid sounding repetitive. Well, using pronouns. Pronouns, yeah. Because pronouns can be used to talk about, referencing, right? So instead of, then you don't have to repeat the same vocabulary. Instead of always repeating the same thing, you can just say it, they, those, he, she. I know that he, she, they, those aren't very fancy words. No, but you're avoiding the repetition. And that's the key thing. A lot of us sound repetitive when we speak, right? And that's what we're trying to help you with. So I'm trying to build your confidence, show you how to be more confident professionally by helping you overcome the initial stress, by giving you the questions, right, for repetition, by giving you help with listening comprehension, and now by avoiding the problem of repetition. And then finally, using various forms. And I think maybe this is one of the most difficult parts, because here you need to be flexible with your skills. And that's more difficult, right? We see here on the slide says there are many forms of the words in English, such as nouns, verbs, adjectives, and adverbs. When learning that new vocabulary, look for them as well. For example, beauty, beautify, beautiful, and beautifully. 4 words, beauty, beautify, beautiful, beautifully. I know that you know beautiful. Right? You can say the flowers on the slide are beautiful. Yeah, of course. You know that word. Do you know the others? Beauty, a noun. Beautify. I beautified my slide by using a picture of a flower. Oh, I beautified it. Yes. So I can say, the person speaks English beautifully. Oh, beautifully. Yes. The accent, the intonation is beautifully. So we use beautifully as an adverb, and they can be great. If you're always using beautiful, maybe you want to, and you want to say the same thing, maybe you can change the sentence a little bit, with different forms. It's more difficult because it allows you, or sorry, it forces you to think in terms of the structures, which I know is not easy, right? That's true. But it's good practice. Okay. It's very good practice. And so how can you practice this at home? Easy. You can, when you are, for example, you're brushing your teeth. Say, you look at a noun. Can you think of the adjective of the noun? Can you think of the adverb of the noun? Can you think of the verb? If yes, great. If not, you can obviously practice with a different one. And when you're not sure, you have your phone, I'm sure, close by. Double check. What's the verb of this? What's the noun of this? What's the adjective of this? Practice makes really perfect, right? Practice makes perfect. Okay, now let's talk about the main point here, the sentence linkers. What are we talking about? Sentence linkers. Sentence linkers. Sentence linkers are words, phrases, expressions that we use usually at the beginning, but not only in the middle or at the end sometimes too. And they typically introduce the information or they comment on the information in the sentence. Okay. It's, oh, how many are we going to learn today? A number. I don't actually know. I didn't count them, but for your reference, there are thousands, not 1,000, thousands, plural, of different sentence starters. I am not asking you to learn 1,000 or thousands. I'm asking you to learn a couple that I've put together in a slideshow here. Why do I think this is useful? Because if you're going to always say and, or, but, because, your sentences will be so minimal. You will sound like you are 12 years old. Not bad, but very basic. If you want to sound a little bit more professional, a bit more advanced, this is one of the easiest things you can learn at home and introduce in your speech to sound better. Okay? So we have to consider what type of sentence. If you want to use a good linker, you have to anticipate before, say, am I going to use contrast, comparison? Am I going to use emphasis? Am I trying to add something? There are different styles here, right? Okay. I've put together a couple of slides with basic linkers. Okay, basic, not because they're easy, because I think they're the minimum. Okay, these are the ones you should know. And I know that some of these you probably do know, but make sure you know all of them. Okay. I say to myself, oh, I don't want to use all of them. It's okay. I can't force you to use all of them, but you should definitely understand all of them and use at least half of them. Okay, so be aware of that. These are the ones that we use for cause and effect. And the thing is that most people always say because. These are the linkers that we use to answer the question, why? As a result, consequently, since, as, because, that's what, therefore, because of, as a result of, due to, that is why, so that, and seeing that. Oh my gosh. Interesting list. I'm sure that a lot of you know some of these words on the list, and I'm happy that you do. Let's make sure we understand all of them. Okay, so as a result, as a consequence, it's the same thing. So I can say, you wanted to improve your English. As a result, you are here in class with me. Yeah. As a result, comma, you are here in class with me. Yeah. Same thing as with consequently. You were very bored. That's why you're here, right? You have too much free time. Consequently, you decided to do this course because you have too much free time, because you don't know what to do with your Thursday afternoon. Of course not, right? You decided to do the course because or as. Oh, yes. What's a simple translation or, sorry, a description of because? A simple description or synonym for because is as. That's the fourth one. Yes. You are here as you are interested in improving your English, as you want to improve your English. Okay. You are here since you want to improve your English. You go, wait, since? ¿No es para el tiempo? Right? Yes, also. I can say, I have been in Spain since 2010. Long time. Okay, great. Since. But it's not the only way that I can use since. Since you want to improve your English, you decided to do an English course. Notice I can put since at the beginning or in the middle of the sentence and it doesn't change the meaning. They are both used as a synonym for because. Okay? Since and as are easy synonyms for because. Why are you here? Because as, since, they are better words. And so if you're always finding yourself using the same words, if you're always using because, as or since are nice, easy, simple synonyms. Therefore, guys, is a little bit more fancy, a little bit more high level, yeah, high society. Therefore, por lo tanto, yeah, therefore. And we say in English, I think, therefore, I am. Descartes, yeah, en français, oui, oui. Yeah. I think, therefore, I am. Yeah, that's why that's the translation in English, at least. Okay, therefore. Therefore is a great structure, por lo tanto, and it means it's normally used in a slightly more formal context. So maybe in a typical conversation that we're having now, that wouldn't be so common. It's a great word, yeah? Therefore. Okay, because of. Because of. Es la misma cosa que because, ¿no? Because of is the same to due to. Yeah, because of and due to are the same. Yeah, because of and due to are the same. When I use because of, I have a preposition. Ooh, preposition. What happens after a preposition? You know this. After a preposition, you have an ing. You have an ing. Or you have a noun. If you have a verb, it's an ing. If not, it's a noun. I am late because of the rain. Not because of it is raining. Wrong. If I want to use because of, I'm going to follow it with a noun or with a gerund clause, okay? Same is true with due to. Due to the traffic, I was late for work this morning. Debido a, yeah? So with the to and the of, it makes the sentence a little bit more technically difficult, but with practice, you can do a good job. Okay, as a result of. Oh, it's not the same as a result? No. As a result of the traffic, I was late this morning. Como resultado de. Yeah, so it's not the same as a result. As a result is with comma, and it's the same meaning as consequently. As a result of is the same as due to. Yeah, that's right. So we have to be really careful. We're going to look at some examples in a moment. That's why. Yeah, that's the reason why. Okay. Por eso. So that. Para qué. Right. So you are learning English so that you can speak to people in London. Para que puedas. Yeah. So that you can speak to people in London. And seeing that is, well, the visto que. Seeing that you wanted to improve your English, you decided to do an English course. Now, let's look at some examples here. Okay, I've given some context here. Since it is late, she is going to sleep. ¿Cómo es tarde? Yeah, to bother me. Okay, ¿cómo es? Yeah, in this case, as it is late is the same translation. Oh, yeah, but what's the difference in Spanish? There's no difference in Spanish. That's the point. You can translate it with ¿cómo? In English, there is no difference there either. You can use it as ¿cómo? Or ¿por qué? At the beginning of a sentence, obviously, you would say it as como en Spanish. Okay. The roads were closed because of the snow. Las carreteras estaban cerradas a causa de. Yeah, because of. A causa de la nieve. Okay. There's a test tomorrow. Fancy. Therefore, look. Therefore, punto y coma. In English, it's semicolon y coma. That's what we put in English, okay? That's the normal way of putting that in English. Therefore, coma, I need to study now. Mañana examen, por lo tanto, tengo que estudiar ahora. Of course, if there's a study, if there's a test, you should study right now. Okay, I took a taxi as I was late. Cogí un taxi porque iba tarde. ¿Por qué? Yeah, that's right. In this context, I can translate that with ¿por qué? Because in English, in this, I can say the same sentence with I took a taxi because I was late, as I was late. It's the same thing. I'm giving you options. Okay? It snowed a lot last night. Consequently, school was canceled today. Anoche nevó mucho, por consiguiente, hoy se han suspendido las clases. Oh, yes. Okay. Notice that was a consequently. Por consiguiente, yeah. So notice that the structure in English can be at the beginning of a sentence with a comma, and that means that the previous sentence is finished with a full stop. Okay? All right. There were roadworks. As a result, there were traffic jams. Hubo obras en la carretera y en consecuencia. Yeah, blah, blah. Okay. Most of these sentences are saying the same thing. You go, but it's the same. Exactly. English has a lot of synonyms. I'm hoping to give you flexibility because by using those synonyms, you will sound higher level and thereby improve, of course, your confidence. Okay. His behavior was unacceptable, so he was expelled. Su comportamiento era inaceptable, por lo que fue expulsado. Okay. Por lo que, yeah. So, entonces, yeah. Great. All right. Seeing that parking is expensive, I took the bus. ¿Cómo aparece? ¿Cómo aparece? It's not the same thing as ¿cómo aparece? Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. In English, I can say, seeing that it is late, she's going to sleep. Since parking is expensive, I can change those. Yeah, in the first and the last sentence, they can be exchanged the same meaning. Okay? English has a lot of synonyms. That's what I want you to remember from this. Okay. We've looked at sentences, right, you know, a moment ago here, right, we looked here at the sentences of cause and effect. These ones here are contrast and comparison, not comparation. Notice comparation is not a real thing. Comparison. Now, what are we going to do here? Well, if we are writing a sentence to compare or contrast, then these ones are the good ones to start with. We have, however, nevertheless, although, even though, still, yet, despite, or in spite of, whereas, conversely, that being said, then again, on the one hand, on the other hand, in comparison, and on the contrary. I think you know most of these, but let's go through them to make sure we are familiar with all of them, okay? The first one, however. Oh, yeah, however. Instead of saying but, you can say however. However is very similar to nevertheless, but they are different a little bit. What's the difference between however and nevertheless? Do you remember? Okay. However, in English, however is used in English to describe something that has a positive before it and a negative after it. And then we use nevertheless, the same meaning, if something is negative before it and positive after it. When I say positive and negative, I mean concepts, not the translation in the sense of affirmative and negative, okay? So we're talking about positive ideas. But both of them use the same thing, right? So there is a contrast between two sentences. Sin embargo, o no obstante. Okay, although and even though. In Spanish, the same thing, aunque. Okay, they are very typical in English for contrast. Although it is warm, I want to wear my jacket. Okay. Although you are tired, you are still paying attention, of course. It's the same thing. although and even though. And sometimes people say, but it's different, right? Even though is stronger. And I say, okay, yeah, maybe. Theoretically, even though can be stronger than although. But they are only ever used comparatively alone. You never put although and even though in the same structure. So because they cannot compare each other, there is no point in arguing if they are the same or if they are stronger, because you would never have them lined up against each other. So it's also a preference matter. Maybe you prefer although, maybe you prefer even though. Both are correct. Okay. Still, maybe you're thinking still. Is that a structure for contrast, right? Maybe I use still in my sentences to explain something else. Yeah, todavía, still, right? The U2 song, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Right? Still, yeah. Oh, yeah. Still, todavía. How's that a contrast? Excuse me. Still is used in sentences in English sometimes to mean todavía. And sometimes it's used to explain contrast. I'm going to give you an example in a moment. In the same way that yet. Yet can be ya or todavía. Yeah. And that's a problem because ya is not the same as pero. And sometimes yet means ya and sometimes means pero. But means it has a double meaning. That's a bit more difficult. We're going to look at an example in a moment, but they are fascinating, very interesting structures. Yeah? Yet, I can say, I am tired, yet I am sitting here paying attention. Estoy cansado, pero, sin embargo. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So yet can have a double meaning. Despite or in spite of. Ojo, careful, careful. We don't say despite of. Nunca. Despite of is wrong. Despite or in spite of, you can choose the same meaning in Spanish. A pesar de, why do we have two? We have two, and in Spanish you have one. You can say one, you can say the other. It has no excuse me, it has no difference in meaning. All right, whereas, oh, that's a bit more difficult. Whereas, yeah, whereas is used for comparison as well. Maybe that's one of the ones that is new to you, and it means something. We will look at it in a moment, the translation, but it's used for contrast, right? So I can say, in Madrid, it is nice and warm and dry, whereas in London, it is cold and dark and wet. Contrast, whereas, mientras que is normally a translation in Spanish. The same thing with conversely. Conversely is the same as in contrast or on the contrary. Conversely and on the contrary are the same. Okay? They're great expressions that you can use to put at the beginning or in the middle of a sentence to indicate that you are contrasting things, that you are comparing things. That being said, then again, on the one hand, on the other hand, okay, in comparison, great expressions. Let's have a look here at the examples. Although it was a sunny day, the wind was cold. Aunque era un día soleado, el viento era frío. Okay. Although it was, yeah, you can see here the structure. I can say the opposite too. I can say the wind was cold, although it was a sunny day. I could put it in the beginning or in the middle, right? It doesn't change the meaning. My brother loves science, whereas I love art. A mi hermano le encanta la ciencia, mientras que a mí me encanta el arte. Yeah, mientras que. We say whereas. It's a good structure to learn. Okay, your exam results were good. However, I would like you to do better. Oh, that's a good teacher, as somebody that wants to make you feel better about yourself. So we say, los resultados de exámenes han sido bueno. Sin embargo, me gustaría que ta ta ta. However, now look at despite. Despite being a doctor, yeah, he smokes so much. A pesar de ser médico. In English, we don't say despite to be a doctor. Como muchísimo, yeah. In English, we don't say despite to be a doctor. Despite is used with an ing. after it if I use a verb, or with a noun, if it is also possible, but not with a verb in the infinitive. It's different Spanish. Even though it was raining, we went out for a walk. Aunque llovía, salimos a dar un paseo. Even though, aunque. And notice that although is aunque, even though is aunque. So it's a difference. It's the same. He is allergic to cats, yet he has one. In the sentence, yet is not ya o todavía. Es alérgico a los gatos, pero tiene uno. Well, in this case, yet is very clearly pero. Wow, that's crazy, right? Maybe this is new for you. That's okay. You're learning something. Look here at the next one with nevertheless. John doesn't speak any Spanish. Nevertheless, he has lived in Spain for 5 years. John no habla nada español. Sin embargo, vivía en España desde hace 5 años. Okay. Notice it. Sin embargo, no obstante, right here. Is there a difference between no obstante and sin embargo? Maybe. I don't know enough the Spanish technicalities to properly point it out. But the thing is, in English, nevertheless is used if the structure before is negative. John doesn't speak any Spanish. Negative. And the next thing is positive. He has lived in Spain for 5 years. Okay? Yeah. So we do it like that. And the last one. In spite of his bad temper, he was a very kind person. Temper, genio. Yeah. A pesar de su mal genio, era una persona muy amable. Okay, a pesar de. In this case, we can see that we are using it with, of course, a noun. Temper is genio, so I don't need to use an ing because it's not a verb, of course. Lots of examples. I would encourage you to use these structures in your own sentences. Now, sometimes maybe you're writing or you are forming a sentence that requires a little bit more emphasis, okay, a bit strength. You can use one of these different sentence starters to make your sentence stronger. Above all, sobre todo. It's literally the same thing. Above, por encima, sobre, all, todo. It's literally the same as Spanish. Above all, sobre todo. As usual, generally speaking, for the most part, without a doubt, as a rule, in fact, indeed, as a matter of fact, essentially, and interestingly. Okay. Many people struggle with the meaning of indeed. I know that indeed is a difficult lesson for a lot of us to fully grasp. What's the meaning of indeed? Indeed is difficult to translate. In fact, it's almost impossible to translate because you don't really have it in Spanish. But it means it's a confirmation or an affirmation. Okay, so I can ask, yeah, are you fulanito? Indeed. I confirm. Yes, that's me. Indeed I am. Yes, you're right. So we use these structures, normally speaking, to affirm. Okay? So indeed, in fact. And we're gonna look at some examples now, but they are very typical. Okay. Above all, I'd like to thank my family. Sobre todo. Quiero dar las gracias a mi familia. That's what you say at the speech of the Oscars, right? The Oscars last week, I think the Oscars. Above all, I'd like to thank my family. Yes, sobre todo. Okay, without a doubt, sin duda, they are the nicest people I've ever met. Son las personas más agradables que conocido. Oh, sin duda, without a doubt. Notice that when I say it, the B is silent. Without a doubt. Doubt. No doubt. Doubt. Okay. Sin duda. English is a difficult language. Indeed, many people, perhaps yourselves too, many people take years to master it. En inglés es un idioma difícil. De hecho, muchas personas. Yeah. In this case, I say de hecho. It's not always de hecho, but that's a possible translation for it. Okay. I made a mistake. With the third one, I left the one from the previous slide. Okay. Of course, I took a taxi as I was late. That's from the previous slide. Ignore that. The teacher is proud of the students. As a matter of fact, she has never had such a good group. As a matter of fact. It's de hecho también. Yeah, that's right. La profesora está orgullosa de los alumnos. De hecho, nunca ha tenido un grupo tan bueno. That's me, right? Very happy with you guys. You are a very nice group of people. Okay, and that's the point. De hecho, indeed, as a matter of fact, are in this case, we can use them as synonyms. They're the same thing. Okay, generally speaking, the coldest weather comes in January. Okay, generally speaking, en general. Can I say generally without the speaking? Yeah, but generally speaking sounds a little bit better, a little bit more high level. Okay. I found him sleeping in the garden. So I found him in the garden sleeping as usual. Pff, sounds like my brother. He's also very lazy sometimes. Shh, don't tell him I told you this, right? But I found him in the garden sleeping as usual. Le encontré en el jardín durmiendo como de costumbre. Okay, as usual. Again, it's for emphasis. If you want to make your sentences stronger, and for writing, of course, they are very useful because you can anticipate what you're going to say. But it's the same for speaking. These are good lists of sentences that you can use to speak. Okay, we are sticking with our spring theme. And the last thing that we're going to be looking at in terms of linkers are additional ideas. All right, maybe you want to add new information and then we can use this. Also, furthermore, moreover, additionally, besides, in addition, further, then, as well as, and likewise. Ah, oh, mira, likewise, how do you do? It's a pleasure to meet you. Likewise. That's how you spell that. Así se escribe. Okay, so likewise, igualmente, right? People say, what's the difference between furthermore and moreover? They are synonyms, right? Because in Spanish, se dice además. Yeah, I know. Además, furthermore. Además, moreover. So what's the difference? There's no difference. It's the same word, but we have a lot of synonyms in English. Okay? All of these are the same idea. They add extra information. Let's do some examples. Give me your email address so that, para que, yeah, so that I can send you the document. ¿Para qué? Pueda enviarte el documento. Okay. Unemployment has fallen. Moreover, there are more permanent contracts. I can say, el desempleo ha disminuido. Además, hay más contactos. Además. Okay, exactly. Yeah. Además, hay más contactos. Exactly. Same as in the next one. The new law is too strict. Furthermore, it only benefits large companies. La nueva ley fiscal es demasiado estricta. Además, again, yeah, that's right, again. I don't feel like going out. Besides, it's raining. No tengo ganas de salir. Además, está lloviendo. Again. Basically, moreover, furthermore, besides are interchangeable. Okay? You can change them the way that you want to. No problem. Okay? Now, the next one's interesting. We say here, as well as being rich in nutrients, cucumbers are also antioxidants. Okay. Además de ser ricos en nutrientes, los pepinos también son antioxidantes. Okay. In this case, it's además again. But here, I cannot interchange it. I cannot say, furthermore, being rich. That doesn't make any sense. Okay. As well as an expression. So it works in a slightly different way. I cannot change it with moreover or furthermore. That doesn't make any sense. We've got to be careful with that. The meaning in Spanish is the same, but in English it's a bit different. The play is fantastic. The play is great. In addition, it has a strong cast. La obra es estupenda. Además, cuenta con... Oh my gosh, again, además in Spanish? Yep. Again. Okay. Spanish wine is excellent. Likewise, Italian wine is also delicious. Okay. Vino español es excelente. Asimismo, el italiano es delicioso también. Okay. Asimismo, igualmente. In the translation, you could say igualmente, asimismo, it would be the same. Okay. So, different ways to translate the same thing. All right. Lots of vocabulary that I've just shared with you. I hope that you find it just as exciting as the people here on the screen. The last thing we're going to do is some linking idioms. A couple of minutes, and I promise I will put you out of your misery. But linking idioms, how to sound more native by using expressions. Con todo mi corazón. With all my heart, sincerely, completely. Yes. So I wish you the best with all my heart. I wish you the best completely. I completely wish you the best. So we often use with all my heart to make it stronger. Okay. It goes without saying. It goes without saying that you should, it goes without saying that you should study this lesson at the end of the class. It goes without saying that you should come to the presentation next week. Yeah. The idea here is that you use it to say that something is obvious. Es obvio que, right? I mean, so it goes without saying, no hace falta decirlo, right? It goes without saying. Okay. Without a shadow of doubt, meaning that there is no doubt. We have earlier said without a doubt. Okay, sin duda. If you want to make it even stronger, you can say without a shadow of doubt, sin ninguna duda. There is no doubt at all that something is true. Okay. Without a shadow of doubt, you are making improvements. You are getting better at English by being here in class with us every week. Without a shadow of doubt. Okay. Nice, fun expressions. And the last one here is we having some idioms, some fun idioms with by the same token, in the same way, for the same reason. Again, a linker that you can say in a sentence, by the same token, da, 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 da. If you want to summarize, you can say, to sum up. Okay, that's a good phrasal verb. But maybe you can say, in a nutshell. Ah, in a nutshell, yeah. In a nutshell. En la cáscara de un nuez. Okay, that's a strange thing to say in Spanish, but in English we say it. Okay, you spoke about comparison today and contrast. Another way to say that things are very different is they're apples and oranges. Sorry, apples and oranges mean that things are very different. Okay, nice, fun idioms that you can study. And to finish our class today, phrasal verbs. Oh, we love phrasal verbs. So you are, of course, reminding ourselves today, right? We have done a lot of things. We have looked at how to be more confident with the five tricks, the five tips at the beginning. We looked at the questions that you can ask yourself. We looked at the greetings and how to make a good first impression. We looked at the listening comprehension, right? We looked at some sentence structures with the linkers. And now you have to think about it. Oh, but think about it is very, very basic. Maybe there are better phrasal verbs than think about it. Which phrasal verbs am I talking about? Excuse me, the ones that we have here in front of us. All of these phrasal verbs are beautiful phrasal verbs that basically mean the same thing. They mean to think about it, to chew over, to mull over. Same thing. To chew is masticar, okay? Let's chew over the idea before making any decisions. Pensamos, no? Like it's the idea to chew over. I'm going to chew over the idea. I'm going to mull over the idea to think about it. Okay. I strongly suggest that you chew over all of the vocabulary that we did today. And maybe you don't want to make a decision immediately. Maybe you want to be a little bit more relaxed, right? So I need to think about it. Yeah. I need to think about it at least one night. Okay. Could I sleep on it? To sleep on something means to think about it for one day or one night, essentially. Could I sleep on it and let you know tomorrow? A very typical typical question that we ask to indicate that someone wants more time to think about something. Okay, to delve into is not quite the same as to think about it, but it means to go into more detail. I need to think about it, but into greater detail. Yeah? I think we should delve into the past to understand what is happening today. To delve into, to go into more detail. And the last one, to ponder over, to think about in great detail. All of them are very similar, right? So to a scientist still ponder over the origin of man. Where does man come from? What are the beginnings? Where did we stop being monkeys and did we start being people, right? The missing link, as we say, pondering over something, right? So chewing on something, mulling over something, sleep on something to delve into and to ponder over. Those are your phrasal verbs of the day, together with all the other tips that we have learned today. I hope you have found this useful and that you understand that confidence is something that you can build and that you can practice. And we just have to look at the specific problems.
Seminario en línea. Escuela de Administración Pública de Castilla y León.